How can you argue that your God is the only God? Don't you think all religion ultimately point to the same God? If God is real, why does God remain so hidden? Why would a good and gracious God allow evil to exist in this world? I don't think there is an absolute truth. Your religious talk is very ridiculous, and Christianity is unscientific superstition. People are throwing these questions at us. The more we interact with our unbelieving family, friends, co-workers, and neighbors, the more we come to recognize their anti-Christian thinking against biblical truth. Probably you have experiences talking with the people who argue about Christian faith and truth. Whether you used the method of apologetics, like classical apologetics or presuppositional apologetics, what you have done is tried to give reasons for the truthfulness of the Christian faith and its worldview. Children, it is a big word. Apologetics is giving reasons or making a legal defense, and is exactly the meaning of the Greek word apologia in the New Testament. For instance, Acts 22:1, brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. Even though we don't use this big word, apologetics, it's obvious that we have done or will do this to defend God's truth. Today, Peter is helping us to defend our Christian truth, especially in the way of apologetics. And as you look at the title of today's sermon from Bulletin Information, we will study today's text in terms of apologetics under three headings: apologetics in faith, apologetics in hope, and apologetics in love. Let's see how we can bring Christianity's three core virtues, faith, hope, and love, into apologetics and defend the truth. Believers, I will urge you to be ready to make a defense of Christian truth in faith, hope, and love. And be ready to make our defense of Christian truth in faith, hope, and love. Let's begin with faith, apologetics in faith. Look at verse 14 and the first part of verse 15 again. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy. After Peter writes a great deal about relationship both to fellow Christians and to unbelievers in the working, in the home and in the working place, in the church and in society at large, now in verse 13 and 14, he continues to focus on the Christians' suffering for the sake of faith in Christ our Lord. Even you can find that topic in verse 16 and 17. The recipients of Peter's first epistle were already undergoing many trials and were about to face fierce persecution for their faith at the hands of the emperor Nero. This is not only a life and death issue for the Christians living in the first century, but also a real issue for all Christians in all times and places, although we may suffer less than the Christians who are physically persecuted. As we begin with the Christians' apologetics for faith, what we see in today's text, verse 14, is a quotation from Isaiah 8:12, which we just read. And the first part of verse 15 also comes from Isaiah 8:13 with a few changes. Let me remind you of the background of Isaiah chapter 8. And in chapter 7, God had sent Isaiah to King Ahaz, who submitted to king of Assyria. King Ahaz feared this human king more than God the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 7 and 8 says, "So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, 'I'm your servant and your son. Come up and rescue me from the hand of king of Syria and from the hand of the king of Israel, who are attacking me.' Ahaz also took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house, and sent a present to the king of Assyria." King Ahaz not only showed his submission to the pagan king more than to God, but also later brought their pagan religion to the land of Israel. Why and how could this happen? Once we fear our reality, our current life, our enemies, and our problems, we are gripped with fear. We can't see God, the Lord. And later in chapter 8 of Isaiah prophesies that Assyrians, whom the Israelites rely on, will invade the land of Israel. However, Isaiah admonishes the people of God not to fear the invading Assyrian armies, but to fear God. Like Peter in his letter delivers the same message, not to fear your sufferings and those who cause them, but to fear God, the Lord only. Here, I see the faith. It's the faith which we should have in order to fear God and not fear man, not fear our situations, not fear problems in our life. How can we defend our Christian truth without true faith, without conviction, and without true confession? Our defense would not last long if we were to come and sit at church without faith upon Jesus Christ our Lord. Our defense would not last long if we were enduring suffering in the life without faith. Our defense would not last long if we were trying to walk with Christ without faith. And here is one more notion I want to bring from our text to show the importance of faith. Some of you might have a footnote in your Bible for verse 15. Notice in verse 15, the ESV Bible begins with the phrase, "In your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy." And now, listen to the same phrase from the King James Bible. "Sanctify the Lord God in holy. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. This phrase is quoted from Isaiah 8, but some Greek texts adopted ton Christon, which means Christ, while others used the ton Theon, which means God. In other words, some people pick Christ the Lord, while others picked God the Lord. So if we prefer to lean on the usage of Christ in Peter's interpretation, we could make a better connection between our suffering and Christ's suffering. We would focus on Christ our Lord. And clearly, from verse 18, it shows us that Peter is talking about Christ and his suffering. And one more reason I personally lean toward Christ instead of God here is because of a grammatical change. The word Lord is positioned in the very first word of verse 15 in the original text. So it can create two different translations, either sanctify the Lord Christ or sanctify Christ as Lord. For English speakers, let me ask this. If I say Christ as Lord instead of saying the Lord Christ, which word would be emphasized? The Lord. He is my Lord. I want to emphasize his lordship and our servanthood here. Peter changes the wording by honoring Christ as the Lord so that he is the Lord Christ. God the host in the text of Isaiah is Christ. This is Peter's Christ-centered interpretation. And we should trust in Christ as our only Lord. That's our faith. To sum up our first heading, I want to bring the question and answer over the Heidelberg Catechism. Number 21. What is true faith? True faith is a sure knowledge whereby I accept as true all that God has revealed to us in His Word. At the same time, it is a firm confidence that not only to others, but also to me, God has granted forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation out of mere grace, only for the sake of Christ's merit. This faith, the Holy Spirit, works in my heart by the gospel. Again, believers, where is your faith? Where should you put your faith? You should be ready to defend the faith, truth in faith. What is the object of our defense? About what would our opponents ask us? They will ask us about our hope. This is our second heading, apologetics in hope. Apologetics in hope. Look at verse 15 with me again. But in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Peter urges us always, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. What is the reason for the hope you have? That's the question we will entertain. That's the question we should be sure to answer rightly. Again, think about the circumstance in which Peter's recipients are surrounded. Or you may consider some of your own sufferings and difficulties in your life. Sometimes it seems that there is no hope. So what is hope? Where does hope come from? How does hope affect us in this spiritual warfare in our life? Believers, there is hope for you. Psalm 39:7, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Psalm 71:5, for you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hebrews 11, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. John Owen, one of great Puritans who lived in their precarious life in the 17th century, says, hope is a glorious grace whereunto blessed effects are ascribed in the scripture, and an effectual operation unto the supportment and consolation of believers. By it are we purified, sanctified, saved. So we should dig into scripture where our hope is. We should be convinced of things not seen but will be seen. And we should apply that hope into our lives so that we are ready to make a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in us. For me, the word hope always recalls its antonym word, desperation or despair. And this also brings to mind one scene of the pilgrim Christian in the book Pilgrim's Progress. One day, Christian and his friend Hopeful are seized by the owner of the middle, the great despair. Giant despair. Giant despair drags them to his stronghold, Doubting Castle. At the nasty and sticky dungeon, do you remember what the wife of Giant Despair, whose name was Defidence, suggested to Christian that he might get out of this place? Take your own life. Take your own life. Anyhow, you are going to die. Then what did the Giant Despair supply to Christian? The knife, the rope, and the poison. It's your choice to use one of them. This is the world where we live now. When we live in this world without hope, we will meet despair. Then our final choice might be the knife, the rope, or the poison. This is often the ending for people who do not have hope or who lose their hope as they face difficulties and problems in this life. It's bad news. We heard about the bad news from our morning service. However, we will not choose one of the three because we heard good news as well. Rather, we will endure our difficulties and rejoice because of our hope, hope in Christ. People might ask you what reason you have for the hope that is in you is. How can you hold on to that hope although you live in this harsh world with the people who hate you and persecute you? Like me, you also have problems and you are struggling with financial problems, health conditions, and your children who break your heart. But where does your hope come from? I'm gonna copy my senior pastor. The world, lean in and listen. And we will let them know. Our hope is in Christ who is with us. My hope is in Him. Remember, Christian and hopeful at the doubting castle did not take their lives, but they hoped in God and prayed to Him. And God answered. Christian suddenly remembered, what a fool am I? I have a key in my bosom called promise that will open any lock in doubting castle. As John Bunyan, who is the author of this book, noted, precious promise, the promise of God in Christ are the life of faith. How often do we neglect God's great and precious promises in Christ Jesus, while doubt and despair keep us prisoners? Christ in us is the supernatural source of our hope. And this hope produces joy that remains even through the most difficult trials. Furthermore, hope produces perseverance, confidence, greater faith and love, consistency, increased energy and enthusiasm, stability, a more intimate relationship with God, and personal purity. Today's text says, the hope that is in you. Believers, let me ask you, is that hope in you? Is the hope in you? If so, you should be ready to make a defense about your hope. Faith, hope, and now love. Our third and last heading is apologetics in love. I pray that this study will help you follow biblical examples of Christian attitudes and minds in apologetics. I have a soft spot for debating. If I debated with someone on a certain topic, I will either easily lose my temper with Korean blood, or the cat will get my tongue. I have heard that American or Western education systems teach their students how to think creatively and critically. Students learn to speak out their own opinions. Opportunities are also given. On the other hand, South Korea and maybe other Asian countries have the method and focus on memorization, at least when I was in school, rather than having discussion. What I want to say, whether you are educated under Western or Eastern school system, is that we are Christians who have to make a defense to those who ask about our faith and hope. What is our attitude when we meet them and when we talk with them? And our conversation with them should be rapid with love. As Peter says, this should be done with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. Verse 15 says, to do it with gentleness and respect. This is a simple but important way to approach our opponent for defending the truth. First, we will look at gentleness. The word gentleness is comparable with the word meekness in the New Testament. Gentleness is obviously one fruit of the Spirit. Paul writes in Colossians 3 that gentleness is one of the characteristics which the new man should put on. And we who are followers of Jesus Christ need to notice that Paul appealed to the Colossian Christians by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And we should imitate his meekness and gentleness. What I want to say about this gentleness of Christ is that we should have Christ's gentleness toward those who ask us. When they hear from us, they will hear about Jesus Christ, our faith in him, and our hope in him. He is gentle. Our words and deeds in apologetics should reflect Christ's gentleness, because our goal is not to fight with them, but to persuade them in love with the Word of God. Second, respect. How can we connect respect into apologetics with the theme of love? Do we need to respect the view of our opponents? Some might say, oh, we respectfully listen to their opinion and respectfully tell them our thoughts so we make our conversation peacefully. No, we will not and should not agree with their opinions nor admit that they are right, because we want to respect them. Yet, we know the truth that if they cling to their own faith, they are made liable to all miseries in this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. Notice this. The word respect could be interchangeable with the word fear. Fear. Again, fear. We fear God's judgment upon people who stand against God. We know their end. We should engage with them not only with the due respect and deference towards men, but also with the proper awe and reverence before God. So we approach them with love because we have tasted the love of Jesus Christ first. Think of anyone in your family or friends who doesn't believe in Christ and is often up against you. After having a big debate with him or her, after hearing a very conflicting thoughts from him or her, how do your heart be? Maybe painful, sorrowful, because you love him, because you love her. You don't want them to keep holding their position. You don't want them to keep walking in their ways to death. Because you love them, so you fear the final judgment. Pray for them and cry out for them. Whether they are convicted of Christ's truth during conversation with you or not, you do this in love. Beloved believers, be ready to make a defense in love. Faith, hope, and love. These three elements should be practiced in apologetics. Evaluating our faith, hope, and love is necessary to defend our truth. Think about three words which are opposite to faith, hope, and love. Doubt, despair, and dislike or disregard. Do you doubt your faith in God's truth? Do you despair rather than resting in hope? Do you approach unbelievers with the heart of disregarded? If so, let us look at ourselves and come before our Lord Jesus Christ in repentance. May God the Lord help us put into practice our faith, hope, and love to make a sure defense to those who ask us. Believers of Jesus Christ, be ready to make a defense of Christian truth in love, in faith, hope, and love. Amen.